Well, this morning we continue our series titled Passing the Baton of Faith. It's our study through 2 Timothy. This is the great apostle Paul's final letter that he wrote. It was written by Paul, and this is a man who ran the race. He went all in. He finished strong. And he wanted to pass that baton of faith on to the next generation. Last week, we declared together that we are not denying God's power. Rather, we are expecting it. We are not like those hypocritical Christians who just pretend. But no, we are recognizing that God is a God of power, that His grace is for real. And so we have accepted His grace and we're expecting to see His grace, His power to be effective in and through our lives. We're not denying it. We're expecting it. In fact, we're expecting it so much that we're actually expecting to be the distributors of His power and His love because we're His people. His church, distributors of the power of God. And if we're actually living this way, I mean, if we're really understanding and living in the reality that we've received the power or the grace of God, if we're living in that reality of allowing His grace, His power to transform us, if we're living in that reality of actually giving it to others, then here's something crazy that happens. God actually will have others imitate us and follow us. Let's continue with the passing of the baton of faith. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, continuing in verse 10. Paul says, you, and he's speaking to Timothy, his disciple, this young man who was doing life with Paul for years and years, ministering alongside of him, learning from him. He says, you, however, and I want to stop on that word, however, because what we're doing is we're comparing Timothy to the hypocritical Christians that Paul just talked about in the first half of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. You, however, unlike these other guys and these other ladies who are just talking the talk but not walking the walk, you who are allowing the power of God to actually change you and to be made evident in you and through you, you, Timothy, my disciple, you, however, know all about my teaching. You know all about my way of life. In other words, you've listened to me, Timothy, and you've watched me. You know my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, the persecutions and sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, disciple, follower of Christ, as for you who've been doing life with me, watching me, listening to me, as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. What do we discover in these statements? Well, we discover that both what we follow and who we follow matters. Both what we listen to and who we listen to matters. Both what we are learning and who we are allowing to teach us matters. As Paul hands off the baton of faith, he's reminding Timothy of that, of what he's learned and who he's learned it from. See, as we run this race of faith, our exercise, our diet as runners in the race of faith, our workout routine, our system, the playbook that we decide to use in this race as athletes, it makes a huge difference. I want to hit two primary points from this passage of Scripture this morning, from 2 Timothy chapter 3. The first is this: what we follow matters. In verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "You know all about my teaching." About what? About his teaching. In verse 14, Paul says, "Continue in what you've learned." In what? Continue, follow, continue in what you've learned. And in verse 15, he reminds Timothy, "From infancy you have known." You've known what? You've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So what we follow matters. What we take in and allow to form our thinking matters. What we choose to allow to shape our belief matters. It matters greatly. You know, you've heard the saying, you become what you believe. It's true. What do we believe? I want to become what's in here. I want to tell you a quick story. I didn't share this with the early service, but it's reminding you. I was living life kind of like one of those hypocritical Christians, not being transformed for years and years. And one day, I got crazy. And I started reading the Bible, like really reading it. And something happened because I said, my life doesn't look like the life that's described in here of a born-again believer. But I started to believe that this is truly the life, not what I'm experiencing, but what God's Word says is true, is real Christian living. And when I grabbed hold of that belief, my life started to be transformed into the image of what God's Word says a Christian life really looks like. What we follow matters. What we allow to shape our beliefs matters greatly. And Paul reminds Timothy that what he is following and what he has been teaching Timothy to follow is nothing less than the Word of God, Holy Scripture. Holy Scripture. And check this out. Why is it so important that Scripture is what Timothy and what we follow? Why Scripture? Why these words in this book, this Bible? Well, Paul reminds us. He says, because all Scripture, in verse 16, is God-breathed. Comes straight from the mouth of God. Comes from heaven, from God Himself. Every single word, phrase, truth in this book, in this Holy Scripture, comes straight from the mouth of God. All Scripture is God-breathed. And that's why it is useful for teaching. How many of us need to be taught? I need it daily. Oh, God, keep teaching me. For teaching, for rebuking, I need that too. My wife says amen. But anyway, that's another story. We won't go there. I'm transparent, but not today. Okay, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I want to be equipped and I want to be in the business of doing good works. Oh God, I want that. So notice that Scripture, which is straight from the mouth of God, it has the power. Scripture has the power, that power that we talked about last week, that incomparably great power to transform us, you who used to be sinners, who transform us into saints. That same amazing power that raised Christ from the dead, Scripture has that power to transform us and equip us then to do every good work that God has for us in our time, right here, right now. To be those who are doing the work, the very work of heaven on earth. That's us. Scripture will equip us, transform us, and have us ready to do it. It'll also encourage us to do it. So Paul is reminding us that the Bible, right here, everybody get your Bibles, that your Bible, this is the diet of champions. It is. Eat it. Consume it. Take it in. This is the diet of champions. Scripture is the playbook that will guarantee victory. If you follow this playbook, you are victorious. It's already been declared. It's already happened. Follow it. It's your playbook. And the Word of God is that workout plan that if we follow it, we will not only be ready for game day, but we will be victorious on game day. It's a done deal. It's happened. God breathed Scripture. What we follow matters. What we follow matters. Now notice that the aim and the power of Scripture, what it's able to do is actually equip us for useful service to God. I say this in our 101 class that's part of the Belong Track, which you can sign up for. I encourage you to do that if you haven't gone through it. It's going to be happening the first 2 weeks of April. Get involved in that. Get connected. It's great. Not only does it talk to you and open up your eyes to who Evident Life Church is and what we believe and kind of how we're designed and what our DNA here is, but it also helps open up your eyes and remind you who God created you to be, and then helps you to connect who you are in Christ and what God's equipped you for into what God is doing in and through this local church family. It's an exciting thing. So come to the Belong Track. But one of the things I say in the 101 class is this, that an equipped saint is a powerful tool in the hands of God. An equipped saint, a saint that's equipped with the truth of God's word. Because here's the reality. An equipped saint, one who's equipped with God-breathed scripture, not man-made ideas or whatever, but the actual word of God, a saint that's equipped with the word of God knows who God is. A saint that's equipped with the word of God knows who they are in Christ Jesus. We need to know who we are and whose we are. An equipped saint knows what they have in Christ. They understand that they're the salt and light, that they're a royal priesthood. Wow. A holy nation, a peculiar people to do amazing things, to actually bring God's kingdom right here, right now. We start to understand that. So an equipped saint is aware of this. Therefore, look out, a powerful tool in the hands of God. When I coached basketball, let me tell you what. The player that didn't think that they were a scorer or a shooter didn't play very much. Why? Because I needed people on the court that had confidence, that knew who they were, that knew the playbook, that knew who they were, and would shoot the ball when it was time to shoot the ball. Because that's the only way we score, is to shoot the ball. An equipped saint who knows who they are, that they have all they need for life and godliness, as it says in Peter, that's the kind of saint that God is going to use for good works. He's going to have you on the court scoring some buckets for the kingdom of God. It was mentioned earlier by Don, there's nothing more exciting than that, than scoring buckets and putting points on the board for the kingdom of God, seeing the lost saved. Oh, you can get addicted to that. That's a good addiction, right, brother? Amen. 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 So an equipped saint's a powerful tool in the hands of God. And so what we follow matters. And we are called to follow the Word of God. It's our playbook. It's our diet because we're champions. You're a champion. This is your diet. What we follow matters, but there's more. Who we follow also matters. Who we follow matters. It's a both and situation. Both what and who we follow matters. Back to verse 10. Back to verse 10 here of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. You know all about my teaching, Paul says, but he says something else. Not just my teaching. He says, you know my way of life. You know how I live. You know how I process things, how I deal with things. You know my way of life. You've watched me. You've done life alongside of me. And then in verse 14, he says, you know those from whom. You know the people who taught you. You know them. See, as runners, as athletes in this race of faith, we don't run alone. It's not an individual sport. Christianity is not an individual sport. Christianity, the Christian life and walk, is a team sport. We don't do this alone. We do it together. That's how we find success. That's how we find victory. That's how we advance the ball. I'll use another sporting analogy. Down the field toward the goal line. It's together as a team, not individually. And so with that reality, we need workout partners. We need each other. We need workout partners who are gonna keep us accountable to actually show up at the gym. I need that. I'm not very good at that. I'll admit it. We need workout partners that will encourage us to do that extra set to push it a little bit further, a little bit further. You can do it. And I'm here to spot you. I'm here to make sure that it won't crush you. I'm here to help you. We need workout partners. And we also need personal trainers. We need coaches. We need people who have been there and done that. We need people who understand how to get in shape successfully, how to get in shape quickly, and how to get in shape safely. We need personal trainers as we run this race of faith. We need others, and who these others are matters. It matters. So Paul frequently encouraged the church, and some people think, well, this seems awfully arrogant what he does here, but he encouraged the church to follow him. He would tell other believers, follow me. Look at my life. Imitate me. Live like me. Do life like me. Let me be your personal trainer as you run this race of faith, because you've got the baton now. He said this to the church in Corinth. That's found in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. He told the believers in that church, follow me. Do life like me. For this reason, he continues, I have sent you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. Now, let's stop there for a moment. Here's what's happening. He's not able to actually be there and do life with the believers in Corinth. But he understands how important it is that they have somebody right there with them in the same room doing life with them to model faith, to model running the race like Christ ran the race, to model what God's word says. And so because he couldn't be there, yet he saw the importance of that, he actually sent his protege, Timothy, who had been following him and imitating him for years. So he says, I want you to imitate me, follow me, live like me, but I can't be there, so I'm sending you Timothy, who's going to show you how to do this, how to live like a Christian, and how to be a distributor of God's power and his love in Corinth. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees, this is important, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. So notice, the Christian life is about imitating or living out God's word, and it's also about imitating and following those who are teaching and truly embracing the biblical lifestyle. That's what's going on here. As Paul is passing the baton of faith, this is what he is reminding Timothy that is so important. That what you believe, what the church believes, and who the church is following, and the reality that they need to be doing life together with people who are really going after God and really believing this word, Holy Scripture, to the point of actually living it out, you need to make sure people are doing life with each other like that. That's how it's going to work. That's how it's going to happen. As I was preparing this week, I was crossing my mind that this message is also a really good message for parents. It's a good parenting message. Because here's the reality is that your kids are watching you. They're watching your life. That's just the reality. And they're going to pick up how you live life. And they're going to embrace it and live it out themselves. And so it's very important as you look at this, you know, from that perspective, but then also look at it from the more global perspective of the Christian life and the body of Christ and the neighborhood you live in and the community you live in, that people are watching. And so that should maybe drive you a little bit to the fear of the Lord to get in God's word and say yes to what his word says. But anyway, parents, you can be thinking about your kids as you're listening to this message here. What you teach them matters, but how you live also is extremely important. Is it in agreement with what you're teaching them? Do your actions, do they support your words? If they don't, just repent and ask God for help and seek Him. It doesn't mean that we have to be perfect. I just want to also make sure we understand this. It's a good time to talk about this. What Paul is not talking about is sinless perfection. So I am perfect in all ways. Paul is not saying that. And I am sinless, and therefore follow me. No, he's not saying that. He's saying, look, you know what I've taught. You've seen me go after the things that I've taught, living out what Scripture says, and you do the same thing. And you know what it says in Scripture? When we sin against God, we go to Him and we ask for forgiveness. When we think wrongly about something, we repent and we change our thinking and put it back into alignment with God's thinking. When we sin against one another, we go and we ask each other for forgiveness. When somebody sins against us, what do? Maybe we've harbored resentment or offense against them. No, release that now. Release that offense and forgive. That's living out Holy Scripture. That's allowing God's Word and His grace to continue to transform you, to sanctify you. That's what this looks like. And when you're living that way, humbled enough, loving God enough, believing His Word enough to live that way, not perfectly, but live this way that we just talked about, the Lord's going to have others follow you and imitate you. Don't be afraid of that. Be excited about that. Be excited. Paul further clarifies his call to follow Him, kind of that be like me kind of a thing, when he says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he says, follow my example. He's talking to the church, to other believers. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Do you see that very important connection right there? Why can Paul tell others to follow him? Because he's following Christ. And he says, follow me when I'm following Christ. Do the things that I do when I'm doing the things that Jesus did, is the message that Paul is giving to the church. See, the Christian life is about imitating, living like those who are living like Christ. But to be able to imitate or follow someone's example, we must watch them. We have to be able to examine their way of living. If we're going to have a spiritual personal trainer, coaches, and others that we're going to do life with, which we all have to have for full success in Christian living, if we're going to have that, then we need to know, how does that personal trainer, how does that person that I'm following, how do they treat others? How do they treat their spouse and their family members? How do they handle stress and disappointment? Again, not asking for perfection, but are they doing it God's way? Are they leaning into God in all of these things? How do they spend their time and their money? How do these people that you're following, that you're allowing to speak into your life, how are they really living out their life? Are they living out what they're preaching? Are they the real deal? And now somebody would say, well, I mean, I can't know that about everybody I listen to. I agree. I mean, there's some great teachers that we can pick up on the radio or read their books and get their podcasts or whatever. There's good material and good encouragement that we can receive from other believers that can live on the other side of the globe. That's kind of like extra credit stuff that needs to be coming into your life, maybe. I'm talking about the core of your life right here, right now. What are you following? The number one thing, the main diet, the diet has to be the Word of God. Any other teaching is extra credit. You hear what I'm saying? And extra credit's not bad. It's good. And you need to be doing life with other believers. People that you're rubbing real physical shoulders with, that you're getting into real rooms with and talking about real life with and serving alongside of and doing projects alongside of and hitting your thumb with a hammer alongside of so they can say, hey, brother, I know that hurt, but hey, I want to encourage you in righteousness right now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm talking about real Christian living, the kind that's talked about in God's Word where the people of God did life together. Together. This is what we're talking about. We've got to have that. I know some people like to say, well, you know, I watched this guy on television and he's probably a good teacher. And I got my relationship. It's me and Jesus and this guy on television feeds me and that's it. And I'm like, dude, you're missing the whole exciting reality and power of God's grace that is released through His church, through doing life with other believers. You're missing it. And so you're settling for less than. Read the Word of God. Read the book of Acts. Read how this all happens. It happens through the body of Christ. That's how we grow. And that's how we see God show up in power. It's when we're together. And so because of that, what we follow matters and who we follow matters. What we're taking in, being the Word of God, that matters. And who we're doing life with and allowing to speak into our lives matters. It matters. In his first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul presents this same precept. He says, you fellow believers, church members in the local church in Thessalonica, you became imitators of us. It's Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. You became imitators of us. And then it says, and of the Lord. So you imitated us, you imitated the Lord, for you welcomed the message, that's the Holy Scripture, the Word of God, in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And because of this, it says, and so you became a model to all believers. Because you studied God's Word, you believed it, you imitated us and the Lord, and then your lives became a model for all these other believers. It began to influence other believers, and these other believers began to follow you and do the things that you were doing, which are written in Holy Scripture. And you began to affect people in Macedonia and Achaia. And the Lord's message as a result of this, check this out, what starts to happen when we live this way. It says the Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. Notice how faith is passed on and replicated through this natural act of imitating each other, following each other. It's pretty amazing. We see that the Thessalonians imitated Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. And that had such an impact on their lives and their fellowship that people in Macedonia and Achaia started seeing this and going, we want to be like them. What they have, we want. And they started living life like the believers in Thessalonica. And then the believers in Macedonia and Achaia started to look so different and come alive in Christ, and amazing things were going on. And then it says believers everywhere were seeing all of this happen and going, we want that. We want to live that way. We want to be part of that. We're going to dive into that stream. That's what discipleship looks like. It's not really that much more complicated. It just isn't. We make it complicated. We put forth all of these things that we got to do, all these hoops we have to jump through, how we're going to become those amazing Christians who affect our world. And so we spend all this time planning instead of just going and being. And these Christians were just, they were being like the other Christians who were being like the other Christians who were being like Christ, and Jesus was glorified, and the church was growing, and people were like, wow. Wow. So in a nutshell, this is discipleship. This is being the real deal. It's being the real deal. Showing Jesus to others. That's what it looks like. Jesus modeled this, by the way. I like taking things back to Jesus. He modeled this exact precept right here that Paul was living out and encouraging others to do. I do nothing on my own, but I only speak just what the Father has taught me. So Jesus is like, look, I'm not making things up. I'm doing what my Heavenly Father is saying. I'm going back to the source, to the breath of God, the words of God is what I'm going back to. And so Jesus imitated the Father. And then what happened is then Jesus showed his disciples how to live this way, and they imitated him, right? His followers, his imitators. And then Jesus, of course, said, now you go do the same things I was doing. Don't make up new stuff. You don't have to make up new stuff and try to figure it out. You've been doing life with me. You've been doing life with me for years now. You don't have to try to figure anything else out other than just do what I was doing. You're going to do these things even. And because there's even more of you, it's going to be even greater and have even more impact. Wow. And so the disciples came into agreement with the precepts of God's Word, how He designed us and the church to grow and His kingdom to come. And they said yes to it, and they followed in it. And what happened? they started to see the whole world change. And God adding to the number of the church, bringing people out of darkness into the light of salvation through Christ Jesus daily. Boom, boom, boom. And he's still doing it in and through a church that understands this very simple reality of what we follow, the Word of God, and who we follow, those going after the Lord and imitating Christ, that when we just do life that way, his kingdom starts to advance, his church grows, and it's a beautiful thing. That's why at Evident Life Church, we get together. We don't get together on Sunday, you know, just as a religious duty. I hope that's not why you go to church, just because you have to go to church, and that's just part of what you have to sign off on, otherwise you don't go to heaven. That please don't have that. I hope you come to church, and I believe and I pray that you come to church because you value and understand the importance of gathering together as the body of Christ, of lifting up the name of Jesus together, and how he comes and he inhabits our praises, and his presence comes and he starts to minister and move in power in us and through us, and how as we do this together, that we sharpen one another, we encourage one another, and we get stronger, and we lift one another up, and we care for one another when we need to be cared, and it's a beautiful thing. And the world sees that, and they want some of that. You know what I'm saying? I want some of that. I've seen people come to a meeting and they've got like this amazing lunch that they bring in. And I'm like, I want some of that. Well, what I believe happens is when the people of God walk into the room, they just see the glory of God shining and the love of God coming off us. And they're like, I want some of that. I'm going to follow him. Where is he going? Where does he get that? Where does she get that? Whew. It's not really any harder than that. So we get together for those purposes. We gather in small groups, in life groups for that purpose. In men's and women's gatherings and recon groups. And that's why we come together and we pray and we have prayer meetings, because we need to pray together and see the kingdom of God come as we gather together and encourage one another and lay hands on one another and see God heal us and get words for one another. And it's beautiful. God's ways are so beautiful and they're not complicated. But we got to get in the stream. We got to engage. That's all it takes. Just engage. I thought of this analogy regarding our need for one another and how when we run together on a team, I mean like close together on a team, how powerful that is in advancing the kingdom of God, in advancing us closer to God. Back in college, I rode in a 100-mile bike race called the Waco Wild West 100-mile bike race. And it's just one of those, you know, you got to do a crazy thing every once in a while. And I was young, and so I got a bike. It was an average bike. But I rode it and trained for about a month on this thing and decided I'm going to ride in this race. And so I got in the race, and I realized very quickly that the people who were successful were riding together. I was riding alone. And I was, ugh. It's windy in Texas sometimes, and I'm pedaling and pedaling against the wind and up the hills and all this kind of stuff and trying to eat every banana I could find that they would hand out and drink all this water, and I'm seeing these people fly by me, and you know who they are? They're old people that I should be blowing away, but they're riding together, one after another, like a few inches apart from one another, tire to tire, and they're doing this thing that later on I found is called drafting. And they're in line with one another. And because they're riding together, they create this kind of physics, kind of airflow thing. I'm not a scientist, but they create this kind of a thing that allows them to propel faster and easier together as a team because they're drafting. And the Lord would say, I have created you not to ride alone, beating against the wind alone, but I've created you to ride together to draft. So that it's easier and you can move more swiftly and faster toward that finish line. What a gift from God. What a gift from the Lord. Together. And who you're riding with matters. Are they going the right direction? Are they going toward the finish line? Get in line with some of those folks and draft. Oh. I want to make another statement before we finish here. Being an imitator doesn't and shouldn't make you a clone. When we're talking about imitating one another, notice it's not about how we look or the exact words that we use and so on and so forth. It's not about creating clones. It's about going after Christ, not being clones. However, living life this way, imitating one another, it will make you a disciple. You will have to lose your individuality if you're going to live this way, this biblical way. Now, I know some of you are like, I'm an American. Rugged individualism, that's me. Well, the kingdom of God works a little differently. There's a lot more grace and mercy in the kingdom of God. You don't have to do it as a rugged individual. You can do it together, drafting with your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. So you're going to need to give up that individuality. But when you do that, you're not going to lose your personality. Because God made you. He fearfully and wonderfully made you in your mother's womb to be who you are, to have that personality, to be that representation of Him, to round out His body in that local church, to be who you are in the body of Christ, to glorify Him in who He made you to be. You're going to have to die to self. God's Word says that. But in dying to self, you don't compromise your unique God-given traits and qualities. You hear that? So we're not talking about imitating and being clones. We're talking about being all that we were created to be and rescued and saved to be in Christ Jesus. And we find that all who we were created to be when we ride together and draft together and run together. And so what we follow matters, and who we follow matters. Paul urged the Corinthians to imitate him. He told the Ephesians, imitate me in God. He told the Galatians, be like me. And he's telling Timothy, as he's passing off the baton of faith, and he's telling us, the church, this generation right here, right now, to follow and remember his way of life and how he lived out faith, truth, capital T, the Holy Scripture. So I want to ask you a question as we're closing. And you don't have to answer this out loud. This is just for you to contemplate between you and the Lord and to pray into, and I hope get excited about ultimately. And that question is, should others be following you? Scripture says, examine yourself. So there's an opportunity right there. Should others be following you? And I want to say that we can confidently answer yes to that question when we are those who've decided to fully and wholly follow Christ. Not when we are those who are perfect and sinless in every way. God is still working on us. Thank you, Lord. His grace is still at work on us. But we are following Christ. We are surrendering to Him day by day, moment by moment, surrendering to Him, coming into agreement with who He is and who we are and what we have in Him. And when we do that, we can be confident about saying, hey, come follow me. Hey, I do life with some amazing people over here at Evident Life Church. They're awesome. They love God and they actually love people, like really love them. They lay down their lives for the Lord and for one another. And I want you to come meet them. I want you to do life with them. I'm learning so much from them. It's so exciting. And we can be those people who can confidently live in this kind of reality and see the church grow. And God add to the numbers daily. Because people are going to be going, I want what they have. Where are they getting it? I'm going there. I'm going there. And again, I want to just remind us, let's keep it simple. And the Lord gave us a word about a year ago. He gave me this word as He was encouraging me just to go and keep it simple and not let fear and complexity keep me from being His witness in the world. And I believe He wants to, again, remind us of this, that it's simple. We just need to be who we are. So as we're looking about how do we live this way that we're encouraged here in 2 Timothy 3, just be who you are. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're a child of God. Just be who you are and just say what you know. You don't have to go out and create some kind of canned answer that's going to get everybody saved every time you say this specific phrase. Just say what you know. You know that Jesus is your hope and without Him you're so lost. But in Him you have new life and you have peace and joy and you lean into Him every day. Go tell people that, because other people are leaning into all the wrong things and they're falling over and they're hurt and they're broken. They need to hear what you know. They need Jesus. And then just give them what you have. The love of Christ. And the power of God moving in you and through you.